We left off with Marx's statement, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must then itself be destroyed. And I mentioned vernectit, which is annihilated or negated in theory and practice, or theoretically and practically. That's a Feuerbach thesis number 4. He wrote 11 theses. The 11th one is on his grave, on his tomb. Well, what he meant was the father's authority in the traditional home. He didn't accept God, but he's saying, basically, where does God come from? Well, he came from the traditional home. The children obeyed their father, that one above them, and as they left the home, then that father was gone, and so they depended on an external authority. And that was objective truth. This is counter to objective truth. Karl Marx was simply stating, since in his mind, God, the Heavenly Father, was created by the children submitting to their earthly father's authority in the home, associated with discussion. See, where the father has the final say. The earthly father's authority in the home, as well as in government, must be negated, according to the Marxists, if the people were to think and act in harmony with their carnal nature and the world that stimulated it, creating worldly peace and socialist harmony. Karl Marx wrote, regarding the child obeying the father, that is, doing the father's will instead of his own, quote, "The life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force." So as a child submits to the father, he creates the father. Now the child's too weak to destroy the father, to annihilate him, to kill him. So he needs the group, he needs society. And so this was the message of Marxism. You've got to remove the father's authority from the culture. Thus, for Karl Marx, quote, another statement, this is from Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, "Laws must not fetter human life, but yield to it. It must change as the needs and capacities of the people change." Basically, what he's saying, laws must not fetter human life. That is, laws must not restrain the child. That is, its habit. That is, inhibit or block the child's propensity to lust. See, to Marx, it's not lust, because if you don't have a father telling you you can't eat the cookies, and so you go buy the cookies, and if there's no father telling you, you can have them. But he says, but yield to it. They must change as the needs, that is, a child's felt needs or lusts, change, and the capacities of the people change, that is, his ability to carry them out. And so even Freud, and we'll get to Sigmund Freud, considered all children sexually active. His whole story is about incest. That was the modus operandi of the father driving the children out and the children coming back and not only killing the father, according to Freud's story of history. The children don't only come back and kill the father, they eat him. See, Marx just said, negate him, annihilate him, get rid of him. He doesn't exist, so get rid of him. See, when you're in that meeting, it says, let's be positive, not negative. Well, if you get rid of the negative, you get rid of the father, anybody can do whatever they want. There's no limit to the depravity of man. Look at our culture. Didn't happen overnight. If one child chewing gum in a class is wrong, or breaking the rules, then having all the children in a class chew gum, negate the rules, and he becomes right. This is dialectic reading putting into praxis. It all sounds so innocent. But it's a total rejection of the father's authority structure, the patriarchal paradigm. All teachers are certified and schools accredited today based upon their use of Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom. In the second taxonomy, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Effective Domain, we read, Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. Let me read that again. Bloom's taxonomies, all teachers are certified. Even homeschooling material is built upon Bloom's taxonomies. I've seen it. Bloom's taxonomies, quote, Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system. Oh, you thought those children, your children were learning right and wrong and black, and, you know, learning 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. No, the taxonomies are all about values, not your values as a parent. It's the socialist values. It's the values of the collective. It's psychological. And you'll see as we go and look at what Freud, and these guys wrote extensively about Sigmund Freud, the perversity of, there is, as Yalom said, there is no limit to the depravity that can be accepted by the group if the group accepts the group norm. Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents, quote unquote. This is in the training manual, the second taxonomy, the affective domain. The student must feel free to say he disliked fill in the blank and not have to worry about being punished for his rejection, his reaction. I don't like my parents telling me to do this. In fact, you'll see that in the men that Bloom, in his taxonomy, refers to. Now, David Crathwell worked with him. Quote, he says, a large part of what we call good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives. What's the effective domain? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. What Marx would say, sensuous needs, sense perception, and sense experience. Through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. Well, who gave those children those fixed beliefs? And who gave educators the right to challenge those fixed beliefs in a secular classroom? The effective, this is the agenda. If you're using Bloom's taxonomy, this is the only purpose of those taxonomies in that classroom. Now, later on, I'm going to show that Bloom says the theory behind it was unproven at the time. He writes this 40 years later. He says, it may well be unprovable. It's an opinion. It's a theory. And yet you as a teacher, if you challenge these taxonomies in the school, you're looking for another job. Their whole agenda is to destroy the child's respect for the father's authority in the home. No other purpose. And you'll see that as Bloom goes through this process, as I explained from his training manual. This, in fact, as a student in college, you don't read these books. They're applied in your training. Only when you get your master's and doctorate will you then be reading them, and you sold your soul by then. And so again, let me read. A large part of what we call good teaching, puts that in quotes, is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging students' fixed beliefs. The effective domain, this is his words, the effective domain is in retrospect a virtual Pandora's box. Quote unquote. Pandora's box is a box full of evil. It's originally was a bottle. The story, it's a fable. And when you open the bottle, wickedness comes out. Evil comes out. And Bloom says, this effective domain we're going to liberate in the classroom is wicked. He says, the effective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people. We're going to loose the bottle. What's the cap to the bottle? The father's authority. See, that's all the serpent did. The master facilitator of change did before the woman in the garden. He removed the top. You won't die. You can talk about anything you want here. That's psychology. That's counseling. See, lie not one to another. You put off the old man with his deeds, his praxis. What's the praxis? We can do whatever we want, and we don't ever think about God. God is not in all their thoughts. There's no fear of God before their face. That's the only purpose for Bloom's taxonomies. It's void of the, it's simply to fill the space with the feelings of the students, void of the father's authority. This was even kindergarten. Kindergarten was a socialist agenda. We're going to give those children an experience where there is no right, wrong structure of discipline, of that patriarchal structure. We're going to void that child's experience of the father's presence in their learning environment. The only purpose for kindergarten. This is just an extension of it. In the first taxonomy, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain, we read, quote, this is Bloom, we recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and places, unquote. Now, Frederick Engels, explaining Karl Marx, he writes, about this dialectic process. He says, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. What did Bloom say? We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative. There are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and all places. And Marx is saying nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. Same. It's just a paraphrase of Karl Marx. In your Christian or Roberts University, Liberty University, all the professors of the major universities are required to use Bloom's taxonomy to develop their syllabi. Marxist material. Since the 50s. I earned my teacher's degree on this stuff. I knew it was wrong. Teachers in meetings halfway through. It's interesting. Andy, I've had 5,000 lectures. That includes radio and TV over the last 18 years. And anytime I had an audience that teachers were present, when I mentioned Bloom's taxonomy, I could take a picture of the audience and we could circle the teachers because they all smile because nobody knows about these taxonomies. But you as a teacher, you live off of them. Conference, if you go training, in-service training, Bloom's taxonomy over and over, very, you know, moving from nouns to verbs and all kinds of charts to apply them in the classroom. You're saturated. You're in an ocean of Bloom's taxonomies in education. Marxist training. Benjamin Bloom in his second taxonomy listed two Marxists, Erich Fromm and Theodor Adorno, as his and therefore the taxonomies, and he used the German word Weltanschauung, which is worldview. Bloom admits in the second taxonomy, the worldview, the structure of Bloom's taxonomy, the paradigm, is Fromm and Adorno. These are members of the Frankfurt School. Kurt Loon was a member of the Frankfurt School. Max Horkheimer was a member of the Frankfurt School. Jürgen Habermas was a member of the Frankfurt School. Paul Lazarsfeld, who was the professor for James Coleman. James Coleman was a man the Supreme Court turned to for advice on education. Marxist, 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 Marxist. So here was Erich Fromm. Bloom actually refers to this book, Escape from Freedom, by Fromm. What's Fromm right? Here's the essence of Bloom's taxonomy. We are proud that in his conduct of life, man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual, that the purpose of society and of his own become identical. What's that? Approach pleasure, avoid pain. Establishing the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life over and therefore against the Father's authority. That's what this is all about. And then he continues, to give up God. Now, Bloom is saying, this is the taxonomy's structure of thought. This is the Weltanschauung. This is the worldview. Your child is going to sit under a teacher who is trained to apply this material in the classroom, and the agenda is to give up God. Quote, quote, to give up God and to establish a concept of man as a being who can feel at home in the world, and if he achieves his union with his fellow man and with nature, that's his lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, in a group hug. Consensus means with feelings. What feelings? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. How dare you come in and tell me that I'm going to spend eternity in the lake of fire that's prepared for the master facilitator of change and all who follow him. That's the agenda. That's the outcome. A godless society. Then Adorno, another man that Bloom says, this is the structure of these taxonomies. If you claim to be a Christian as a teacher and you use these taxonomies, you can't. This is the very structure that Satan used in the garden. The very same pattern. And here's what Adorno writes, family relations are characterized by a fearful subservience of the demand of the parents. See, the children have to submit to the parents' authority, and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. See, this is going right at God. God's the father in the garden. Two children rebel. He tells them, you can do this, you can't do that, and the taxonomies are going after that. Then he says, God is conceived. Remember, Marx said, God is created from the home? If you want to get rid of God in society, go after the home. But you can't go after the home because then the parents will get rid of you. So what you do, you get the children in the classroom, ask them how they feel and what they think regarding behavior, and the children will go home and destroy the home. That's what's happened. I met a couple. They had spent $70,000 in 3 years for counseling for their child, and their child was worse off than when he began. They didn't know, but it's foolish. Some counselor out there was happy as all get out, destroying, raping that family of the father's authority. That's all the master facilitator did, the serpent did in the garden. You won't call yourself a master, you call yourself a facilitator of change, you're following Satan's pattern in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, one and the same. And so Adorno, Bloom's taxonomy, built on this, God is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. So he gives you commands, rules, facts, and truth, and he enforces them. Continuing, quote, submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state. And I would include that's parental authority, local control, nationalism. And he says, and so forth, have so frequently, and as it seems to us, correctly been set forth as an important aspect. I'm not going to finish this right now. What he did, what Adorno did in Berkeley, he was a member of the Frankfurt School, he's a Marxist, he followed what Marx did. Marx wrote an article called The Holy Family. I mentioned this before. Two sentences in there you could lead a person to the Lord with. Let's see, I don't know if I can... No, I won't stop to look for it. But they're profound. Really impressed. Well, you'd say, well, why would Karl Marx do that? Why would he make it so clear? Well, you have to know what it is you want to change or destroy. And then he found the solution, and he used fruit trees as an example. And he generalized. That was the key. How do you destroy a person's position? How do you destroy an absolute? Generalize. Don't get specific. Generalizing is dialogue, because dialogue is always general. It's not specific. Discussion is specific. Discussion is right-wrong. Einstein came up with E equals MC squared because he filled up a whole bunch of blackboards. This is right, that's not. This is right, that's not. This is right, that's not. It's specific. But if you go to dialogue, you go, I feel and I think, and you're all over the place. It's the broad path. And so what he's saying is that traditional parents are prejudiced. Let me skip this one word and go on. A search for correlates of prejudice had naturally to take these attitudes into account. So they're looking for prejudice. The traditional teacher that believes 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number is a prejudiced teacher. The judge who believes the Constitution is his rule of law, is a foundation of law for this nation, is prejudiced. See, parents who tell their child this is right and that is not is prejudiced. A minister who preaches the word of God, accepted as is prejudiced. And see, we can have a discussion over that. So are these people. They are prejudiced. They're prejudiced against right and wrong. And fine, we can have a discussion, but he goes a step further. This is the censoring. This is what they do in communist countries. He goes a step further. He says, correctly been set forth as, let me back up, submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state, and so forth, have so frequently, as it seems to us, correctly been set forth as an important aspect of the Nazi creed. So he doesn't just stay with prejudice, which we could all, you know, we could have a discussion. Yeah, God is prejudiced. He sets the standards. But he goes a step further. He goes, he's a Nazi. Traditional parents are Nazis. See, the judge who believes in the Constitution is a Nazi. See, the teacher who believes the parents who believe this is right and that's not and teach your children, they're Nazis. God himself is a Nazi. You see the effect of that? That's powerful. And in the Soviet Union, they call you psychological. There is no way you could recover. It's a slandering, and that's what Marx understood. If we can simply train people to accept certain words as that person, if they're there, they're untouchable. You want to avoid them like the plague. And so these are language of slander against a person, and you can never recover. Once culture accepts this, you can't recover. And so that was their key, and this is in the grading system today. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother. This is Adorno. Bloom says the worldview. This is what the taxonomies are all about. They're focusing on the home environment. And the relative dominance in specific areas of life also seem of importance for our problem. What's the problem? It's the plain problem that Marx had. An external authority telling him right from wrong. It's the same problem the serpent and the devil had. Somebody above him telling him right from wrong. This is why Obama, there's this guy, I can't even think of his name right now, that he worshipped. And he worshipped Lucifer. The error in Adorno's logic, there's an error in this logic, is that all forms of socialism, communism, globalism, fascism, all forms must negate the father's authority in the home and the father's authority in the mind of men in order for the socialists to rule over the people. So it's a fraud. All socialists of every form have to destroy the father's authority in the home and the father's authority in the soul of the individual. By generalizing, the patriarchal paradigm, which includes God himself, is falsely equated to fascism. That's going on in the class. What is rejected in the curriculum, therefore missing in the classroom, is the father's authority system. They removed what? The Bible. They removed the Ten Commandments. They removed prayer in the name of Jesus. Jesus obedient to the Father. See, we're told to take everything captive to the obedience of Christ. And they removed chastening. Who did that? James Coleman, who was his professor. Paul Lazarsfeld, who was Paul Lazarsfeld, a member of the Frankfurt School. Marxists who came here in the 30s. And this directly affected the students' way of thinking and acting. Thus, Bloom could write in his second taxonomy, quote, "There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. It's working. We're destroying the American home." In the second taxonomy, Bloom wrote, quote, "What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students." Oh, you thought it was content. No. When you take it, you know, you like, you don't like, you know, that spectrum thing, most like, most dislike, that's your intended behavior. They're finding out what you're likely to do and what you're not likely to do. It has nothing to do with facts. It has to deal with feelings, the affective domain. What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students, the way in which individuals are to act, think, or feel as a result of participating in some unit of instruction. What's he saying? We're going to give these students a test. And based upon that test, we can now tell whether that teacher is a traditional teacher, a transitional teacher, or a transformational teacher. Whether they're traditional, pro-nation, pro-God, or whether they're a socialist Marxist, just by the grading of those tests. See, the local test by the local teacher, you have control. But these national tests, coming from the top down, the teacher, even the teachers can't see them. They're grading where your child is. Is your child become a Marxist yet? How effective is that school? And if the school is not progressing with the use of Bloom's taxonomy, that school will be punished. Just like the students, if you're working on a group grade and one or two of the students refuse to participate, that group gets punished. The grade is upon the relationship building based upon the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So it's all about ordering and relating the different, quote, ordering and relating the different kinds of affective behaviors. Quote, and see, they can't go to the pure cognitive. That's God telling Adam, you can eat the fruit of these trees and you can't eat the fruit of that tree. See, that's out. There's no black, white. It's all spectrum. Quote, we need to provide the range of emotion from neutrality through mild to strong emotion. This is in the taxonomy. I'm quoting from the taxonomy. Your undergraduate student learning, getting a teacher's degree, probably isn't going to read. Probably not going to understand it if they do read it. But this is what it's all about. We need to provide the range of emotion from neutrality through mild to strong emotion, probably of a positive, but also possibly of a negative kind. Well, there you go. Organized into value systems and philosophies of life. Is your child a Marxist yet? See, that's why the buildings were being burnt in the, during the last election. Those are Marxists. And see, the local store owners, some of them were killed, beaten over the head with two befores. They were just products of Bloom's taxonomy, taken to Columbine. Those two boys were trained up in this system. They all call it fascist. But who was all the students that were killed were patriarch in structure. See, they were going after a paradigm. It just got out of hand. Now we gotta make sure that it doesn't go that far. We don't want, you know, we want them to go after the parents in the home, not after the students in the class. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who have less authoritarian points of view, as well as through the impact of a great many courses of study in which the authoritarian pattern is in some ways brought into question. Remember, Maslow, in the last presentation I gave, he says, first thing I do with authoritarians, I break their backs immediately. I treat them like the bastards they are. So this authoritarian pattern, this pattern that Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do, is in some way brought into question while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. Quote, unquote, Bloom's taxonomy, every teacher in your community is trained upon. Do they like it? Most hate it, but they don't know. 40 years after the publication of the first taxonomy, Bloom wrote, certainly the taxonomy was unproven at the time it was developed and may well be unprovable. Bloom admitted that his taxonomy was only a theory, an opinion. Yet if you do not accept it as fact and apply it in the classroom, applying the father's authority system in the classroom instead, you will be punished. Ask any teacher. Irvin Laszlo, who organized and promoted the climate change agenda, wrote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. Now, I shared this a little earlier, just that portion of his statement. This is in his book, A Strategy for the Future, The System's Approach to World Order. What? What system? Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That pattern. This is Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The procedure that the serpent took the woman in the garden through is the same procedure of Bloom's taxonomies. This is why the Antichrist will be worshipped. Because the whole world, not only is America subject to it, over 1 million of these taxonomies were published for the communist education system by 1971. This is a structure for the communist Chinese. This is used all around the world. And it's a total rejection of any external authority other than man's own sense experience. So the agenda is to bypass traditional channels of top-down decision-making. Your senators in Washington are getting in groups, dialoguing their opinions to consensus, even the conservative ones, not realizing that process bypasses the Constitution. This is why you send them off to office and they come back, you can't talk to them anymore. A guy I knew, you said your school board members would go off to a convention and come back and they'd had a lobotomy. You couldn't communicate because they insisted upon dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? You said, no, right, wrong. You know, you're black and white and they're all gray. They're tolerant of ambiguity, tolerant of deviancy, tolerant of depravity. And now we have boys in the classroom that don't know whether they're boys or girls. And they didn't come up with that. This is all a byproduct of this depraved mental system. These people are mentally sick. They're out of touch with reality. They don't know what an XX and XY chromosome is. Doesn't mean anything to them. You can be whatever you want. What fools. Quote, individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, transforming public consensus into one favorable to emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It's political. Discussion and dialogue are different political systems. Consensus is a rejection of God's authority. You go to consensus even on the Word of God. You have made your feelings the foundation of the Word of God. God, again, said, I will share my glory with no one. You have become an enemy of God. Any minister who comes in and says he's a facilitator of change is an enemy of God. He is following the same pattern the serpent did on the woman in the garden. And he will turn the whole congregation against the believer. Laszlo was simply explaining how the Soviet system worked, where policy was and still is made through the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, which does not recognize the father's authority system, that top-down decision-making, known as the patriarchal paradigm, where the one in authority authors, commands, rules, facts, and truth to be accepted as is by faith and obeyed or applied, and enforces them. So the outcome was and is void of the father's authority system. That's what the Soviet system was all about. How can we set policy without somebody coming in saying this is right and that's not, and hurting other people's feelings? It's a collective. It's no longer an individual. See, they hated capitalism. What does that mean? You capitulate. You submit to somebody else's authority. And so the consensus is void of the father's authority system in order for all, especially the facilitator of change. This is all about the person up front. He's simply manipulating the environment to get everybody to worship him. And to do wrong, disobey sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasure of the moment that the world stimulates, without being judged, condemned, and or cast out, doing so without having a guilty conscience. The guilty conscience is from the Father's authority system. Ever been in a facilitated meeting where you were asked to be positive and not negative? You were in a Soviet. Where those who are negative, who insist they and others do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that is to do the Father's will, are asked, that is pressured by the group to participate or to be rejected. To be positive or be silenced, censored, and or cast out, negated. So those who are positive can do wrong, disobey, sin. And part of it is to train everybody how to neutralize and how to destroy the patriarchal student in that classroom. You send your child in there to be a witness of your position? Well, they will be a witness. The Greek word for witness is martyrias. The agenda of Bloom's taxonomy, if you use that as a teacher, is to martyr the believer. You say, oh no, I'm a Christian. No, you cannot use this. Because if you bring the authority, why are you asking students how they feel, what they think about what is? What is, is. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. No shadow of turning. And you're dealing with behavior. And so if you exclude God from behavior, you're godless. No, I go to church. You're godless. No, I talk about the, you're godless. You're godless. So you can deny that. You can't refute it. Because if you reject what God says regarding behavior when you're teaching somebody else behavior, you're godless. That is lust after the carnal pleasure of the moment that the world stimulates without having a guilty conscience. Doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, that is lusting without being judged, condemned, cast out, having everyone's affirmation. So if you can get that room in consensus, everybody is now worshiping the facilitator of change, who has now justified their lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and have crucified anyone. See, in dialogue, you have to suspend. That's the word they use. You have to suspend your position. You have to suspend Christ. You say, oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, you're in all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, no, I wouldn't build. You put him on a cross. Has authority been banished in these latter days? This is a statement by the superintendent of the public schools of state of California. This is a California superintendent of the schools making this statement. Has authority been banished these latter days? Has the world reached a point where it will condone the formation of pupil Soviets? March 1921. This William C. Wood set up universities in California, and yet his name is not put on any building because he fought the system. That's back in 21. Lenin's famous speech was 20. And so this, remember the UN? This was all the same with the UN. The League of Nations. You know, this was all the effort to bring the structure of Marxism into culture. The facilitated, be positive and not negative, open-ended, non-directed, dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, group, grade, classroom, your child is learning to think and behave in, is a Soviet. A Soviet, and this is the definition. Now, you used to not be able to find these definitions. Now, we've gone so far down. Now, they can say, oh, by the way, this is what we're doing. A Soviet is a diverse group of people, which must include the deviant. That deviant student is the catalyst for change. Oh, we have to be tolerant. In church, oh, we got to be tolerant. Well, you're going to become a depraved congregation. God's not tolerant. He's patient, but he's not tolerant. Sin is sin, and you call sin out. It's not that you're going around being judgmental and hateful. And that's the when you do a dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, that's the Soviet. Over social issues, you know, relationships, where social worth becomes more important than the right of the individual. God gives you individual rights. If in a court, this is the Magna Carta, American Revolution, it was over this issue. The moment you bring social worth into a courtroom, there is no right for the individual. But this group grade is all social worth. Your worth is based upon the compromise for the sake of the group. And your right as an individual under God is gone. It's gone. As Kenneth Benet in Human Relations in Curriculum Change, that is a cookbook on humans. It is a classic, stated that, quote, we must develop persons who need see non-influenceability of private convictions, in other words, people with right-wrong attitude, in joint deliberations, that's the consensus process, as a vice rather than a virtue. This is Bloom's taxonomies. Can't use them without this being the desired outcome. Now, their teachers mess it up. Thank God. But doesn't justify their use. As I mentioned last time, there are Christian schools that use this, and the kids are going out in the parking lot and having sex during lunch hour. And the parents are going, how did that happen? How could that happen at a Christian school? We're putting money in here. Well, you're using Bloom. What do you expect? To a predetermined outcome that no policy or law is to be made without the Soviet system. That is the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, which prevents the father's authority from establishing policy or law. Now, here's the trick. Is if you go to the one meeting and you dialogue the group's opinion to a consensus and you set policy or law, whatever, and then you leave and they meet 2 months later, and all of a sudden, the laws have changed. And you say, wait a minute, no, I was in that group and we set these standards. But now this new law gets rid of you. You say, no, we didn't come up with this law. Well, they had another group. So the laws are changing forever based upon who's leading and who's participating in the group. There are no absolute laws. One of the things I learned from studying Soviet law is this quote, and I'm going to paraphrase. Jurisprudence of terror. That means you're going to go into court and you have no idea. You can actually have all the facts, everything right. It's a winnable case. And yet if you do this process, jurisprudence of terror takes two forms. Loosely defined rules, which produce unpredictable results. See, the rules can change. They're not established like a constitution. A constitution means a statute. It's set. And so you have predictability when you go in. Not when you do this process, not in a Soviet court system. And rules that can be easily changed by the state. See, the moment you get rid of your father in your home, that structure, now dad could be a tyrant, but that structure of right and wrong, you get rid of him and you go in a culture that doesn't have him. And see, what happens is if you get in the way of whoever's in authority, they can get rid of you. And you say, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm important. I helped you. Well, you got rid of dad. You did, because he what? He was in your way. So if you're in the way of who's ever in power, he can get rid of you and you have nothing to say because you got rid of your dad. Because he was in your way. You know, the saying, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. You get rid of the father's authority in your life and in culture. Anybody can do anything they want to you. Too bad. You bought into that system. When policy and law are established according to self-interest, what can I get out of this for me? The victim, whose individual rights were violated by the criminal, becomes the criminal. See, you go into court, somebody has done a crime against you, but you're going into this system of self-interest. And so the victim, you become the criminal because you come in with established law that's punishing the person who's simply doing what comes natural. You see how that works? Who now has become the victim. Since he has to obey established laws preventing him from becoming himself subject to his carnal nature that is subject to what he has in common with all that is of the world. This is the perception of the liberal judge. Anyone holding to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, placed in a dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, the open-ended, non-directive, we can talk about anything, we're not going to judge, condemn, or cast anybody out. And that's a lie, by the way, because if you come in right, wrong, you're going to be judged, condemned, and cast out. So it's a lie. Will always be perceived as being argumentative, experiencing terror as his individual rights under God are replaced, negated with social cause that is social worth. The terrorism that's going on in the classroom. You could write a book, Terrorism in the Classroom. When you have a teacher who's calling themselves a facilitator of change using Bloom's taxonomy in the group grade, there is terrorism going on in the classroom against the souls of those children. Your child does not have to be told to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack your authority as a parent. If he or she was not doing it already, all he or she has to do is to participate in a classroom using Bloom's taxonomy as its curriculum. That is to learn right and wrong behavior in the group grade classroom, where he or she must go with a group that has become a socialist, replacing individual rights under God with social worth. That is to be affirmed by the group or be rejected. That is silenced, censored, and or cast out by it, going with it or affirming the group, or he or she will be rejected automatically. Now, Irvin Yalom, in his book, The Theory and Practice of Group Psychotherapy, this is a classic work. He wrote, quote, few individuals, as Ash has shown, can maintain their objectivity in the face of apparent group unanimity. An individual rejects critical feelings towards the group at this time to avoid a state of cognitive dissonance. To question the value or activity of a group would be to thrust himself into a state of dissonance. Long-cherished beliefs and attitudes may waver and disconform in the face of a dissenting majority. This is what happens anytime your town council goes off to a convention. This is what's happening to all the members. This is the students in the classroom. This is your senators in a Senate chamber. They're dialoguing. They're using this process. It is consensus to get there, from conscience to consensus, from facts to feelings, you have to go through transition, and that's called cognitive dissonance. It's confusion. Facts and feelings are now tossed together, and you're having to make a decision. Do I go with the facts, which I can't do what I want to do, or do I go with the feelings and I get what I want to do, but I got to get rid of dad? Cognitive dissonance, this is Ernst R. Hilgard in Introduction to Psychology. He says, it's the lack of harmony between what one does and what one believes. See, your nature, lust, flesh, lust, the eyes, pride, versus what God has told you to do. The pressure to change either one's behavior or one's belief. But the pressure of the group, your child is under the pressure of the group. Group rejection. As I said, it's painful. One of the most painful experiences of life is being rejected. Every child has to go through this. You can't do this process without that being experienced by the child. That's why they move from what does dad say? You know, what does my heavenly father, you know, what does God say? He who does my father's will. I can do nothing of my own self. What my father commands, that's what I do. That has to be put out. That has to be washed from your brain. Now it's what is the group, what is the village, you know, what does society think? Kurt Lewin, who though not being a member of the Frankfurt School, edited their journal, wrote, it is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. Why? Separately you have a discussion. In a group, it's dialogue. The individual accepts the new system, see, that new paradigm, the new way of thinking, of values and beliefs, by accepting belongingness to the group. See, what is the Protestant Reformation? It's not the group. Now, yes, there's a fellowship. But true fellowship is where two or three are gathered in his name. It's around him. You're not meeting for the sake of the group. The group is a byproduct of you meeting a brother or sister in the Lord. Your fellowship, as John, 1 John, he says, for truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. If your fellowship isn't there, if you personally are not fellowshipping with the Father and the Son, you cannot have fellowship with other believers. That's where it starts. The fellowship with other believers is a byproduct of your personal fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, that fellowship with the Father and Son is not a byproduct of your fellowship with others. See, we can turn that around. See, that was the understanding of priesthood of all believers. You and I are going to stand personally before God, and we're going to be held personally accountable. Nobody else is going to be judged on our standards, and we're not going to be judged on somebody else's standards or for what they've done. With the Father, there is only one in authority, with the Father having the final say. With the facilitator of change, the group has the final say, from where we get groupthink. Kurt Lewin, in Resolving Social Conflicts, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics, wrote, quote, the group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his actions. Irvin Yalom, regarding behavior in the group, wrote, there is no type of past behavior too deviant for a group to accept once therapeutic group norms are established. One of the most fascinating aspects of group therapy is that everyone is born again, born together in the group. That's what's happening to the students in Bloom's taxonomy. They're all being born again. If you happen to see some of the older videos of core curriculum that Obama brought in to the school systems, and the teachers are describing what they emotionally went through going from being a traditional teacher to this facilitation of change process, and you listen closely, they're describing their soul dying. It's wrenching. Their soul is dying because the soul knows from being told. And when you go to I feel and I think as the standard for behavior, you're selling your soul. You're killing your soul. Your soul is dying. Kurt Lewin, in Wilbert Brookover's book, A Sociology of Education, is quoted as writing, the child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. Pay attention to that. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. Key point. You remove that traditional teacher. You remove the father's authority from the classroom. And that child is automatically going to change the way he thinks, the way he feels, and the way he acts. That's why the Marxists who influenced the Supreme Court, this all came from the top down. The NEA, the American Education Association, they were all doing the same pattern. And teachers are having to fork in money if they wanted to keep their jobs to support this tyranny against our rights, God-given rights of this nation. Now, everybody's going after this organization and that organization. I'm going, no, it's the taxonomy. This is Genesis 3:1-6 being applied in the classroom. And nobody that I know of has addressed it that has any political clout whatsoever. Meaning, you know, what Khrushchev banged his shoe on a thing and said, well, you don't have to bury you. You're going to bury yourself. He already knew what this stuff was doing. Kurt Lewin, along with others, believe that, quote, change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of a culture of a group is therefore interwoven with the change of the power constellation within the group. So if you change the pattern of leadership in the group, you're going to change the behavior of the group. Well, I'm going to stop there. And we'll pick up next time.